بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, last night we commenced with the 28th juz, Surah Al-Mujadalah or Surah Al-Mujadila, which refers to that person who disputes or that female who argues. And a very interesting incident has been mentioned regarding the revelation of these verses. Why is the surah named Suratul Mujadala, the surah of argument or the surah of that woman who argues? So there was a practice in the period of Jahiliyyah which was known as Zihar. And Zihar would be where a man would say to his wife, Anti alayya ka dhahri ummi, that you are like the back of my mother. And when he would make this statement, then in Jahiliyyah, this would constitute talaq and divorce. So he would say, Anti alayya ka dhahri ummi, you are like the back of my mother. And this would be regarded as a talaq. On one occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was seated, and a sahabiyah came into his home, the home of Aisha radiallahu anha, whose name was Khawla bint Tha'laba. So she came, she says, O Nabi of Allah, I have a complaint about my husband. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked her, what is the complaint? So she explains that قَدْ أَكَلَ شَبَابِي, my husband has enjoyed me in my youth when I was healthy, I was strong. He took enjoyment from me. Now that I have become old, I have bore his children and my bones have become weak. My body has gone out of shape. Now he has divorced me. And my children are still young and I am dependent upon him financially. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asks her, that how did this divorce take place? She explains that my husband said to me, Anti alayya ka dhahri ummi, these words, that you are like the back of my mother. So she says, O Nabi of Allah, is there any way out for me? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, this is a talaq, it is a divorce, and there's no way out for you. But she continues to argue, or to ask Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and she says to him, that I have hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make some way out for me. Because of her sincerity, the plea and the cry of her heart, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes down, and these verses are then revealed, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا. Allah has heard the words of that woman who comes to you to argue about her husband. وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ, and how she complains to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوُرَكُمَا, Allah hears the discussion that takes place. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ, Allah hears everything, Allah sees everything. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals in detail the laws of zihar in Islam. That if a person has to make this very same statement, Anti alayya ka dhahri ummi, you are like the back of my mother to me, which in Jahiliyyah used to constitute talaq, if a person has to now make this statement in Islam, then this will not constitute a talaq, a divorce. Rather, all that it will entail is that this person is now not allowed to be intimate with his wife. It is as though he has taken an oath not to be intimate with her, but the nikah does not break. If he now wishes to go back upon this and to be intimate with his wife once again, then he is required to pay the kafara for zihar. And that is then mentioned later on, that person, وَالَّذِينَ يُظَاهِرُونَ مِن نِسَائِهِمْ, those who make zihar with their wives, ثُمَّ يَعُودُونَ, and then they want to go back on this, then what should they do? فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَ, they should free a slave before they can be intimate with one another. So this was the first kafara, is that if you want to now break your zihar, free one slave and then your wife is halal and normal for you. Then Allah says, if you are unable to find a slave, either slaves are not in existence, you don't have the financial means, then فَصِيَامُ شَهْرَيْنِ مُتَتَابِعِينَ, fast for 2 consecutive months, 60 days consecutively, and thereafter you will be, your wife will be halal for you. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ, that person who is unable to do so, he can't find a slave, he can't fast for 60 days, perhaps he doesn't have the energy or the health to do so, then فَإِطْعَامُ سِتِّينَ مِسْكِينَ, feed 60 poor people, you will have to give them, ulama explain the details, that you will have to give them 2 meals, a morning meal and an evening meal, 60 masakin, or a person has the option to take one miskin, one poor person, and call him for 2 meals for the next 60 days. So a person in this way feeds 60 people and then his wife will now become halal for him. Aisha radiallahu anha would mention about this incident. She would say that, Subhanalladhi wasi'a sam'uhu al-aswat, Glory be to that being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose hearing hears, or that glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is able to hear all voices. And she would then explain that Khawla bint Thalaba was in my home. And we know the house of Aisha radiallahu anha was very small. I was there, the Nabi of Allah was there, she was speaking to him, and I could just hear snippets of her conversation, although she was right there in my home. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heard the conversation, and wahi comes down, making a way out for this particular woman. Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, on one occasion in his khilafat, he was walking with the Muslim army, all the youth and the men of the Ansar. And an old lady was on the side of the road, she stops him. So he stops, he dismounts, and she then poses a few questions to him, he listens to her, he gives her quite a bit of attention, and thereafter he gets back onto the conveyance and he continues. So somebody says to him, "O Amirul Mu'mineen, you stopped this entire caravan for an old lady like this. She should have come at some other time. We were now proceeding to a destination. Why did you stop?" So Umar radiallahu anhu explains, "Do you know who this is? This is that woman whose complaint and cry brought down wahi from the sky. This is Khawla bint Thalaba." And then he says, "Wallahi, if she had to continue asking me and asking me and asking me, right up until the time for adhan, I would have sat next to her and answered her questions. Then I would have left for salah, and I would have come back and continued to answer her questions. Even if the entire night had to pass, because of her status that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly addresses her in Quran, or says that I heard her conversation, I heard her cry and her plea, and I sent down wahi for this." So this was the incident of Dhihar, the incident of Khawla bint Thalaba and her husband, whose name was Aus bin Samit radiallahu anhu. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a few of the qualities of the Muhajirin and the Ansar, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Very briefly, we'll just go through them. Alladina ukhriju min diyarihim. Allah speaks about the Muhajirin who left Makkah, that when they were taken out from their homes, Allah places a stamp of approval upon them, that they left, they made hijrah, yabtaghuna fadlan min Allah wa ridwana, seeking Allah's grace and seeking Allah's pleasure. وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, and in order to assist Allah and His Rasul. They didn't make hijrah for any worldly gain or any ulterior motive. It was purely out of love for Allah and His Rasul. And then Allah speaks about the Ansar of Madinah Munawwara. يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. Allah says their quality is that they love those who migrate and come to them. And we know, we have heard many incidents also about the Ansar and how they gave preference to the Muhajirin, that you take whatever you want and I will have what is left. Now, this is very easy for us to say and to hear, but imagine if we had an entire group of people, hundreds of men, coming into the Ashaval area, and somebody had to say to us that all the men of Ashaval, open your homes and allow these people to come and live with you. I may have a 2-bedroom home, 3-bedroom home, and I'm just comfortable enough, I've got my children, we've got our space, and now give away half of it. All your wealth, also your business, hand over 50% ownership shares to that person who is coming. Somebody who you don't even know. He may have just accepted Islam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding them, يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. They would give preference to others over themselves. وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. Even though they were not in a condition of want, they were in a condition of need. They needed it for themselves. It was not like us. For us, we can still make a plan this way, that way. I've got a spare bedroom, or I've got some extra blankets, extra pillows, I'll make a plan for the person. But they had just enough for themselves, and still they were prepared to give it to the Ansar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the Muhajirin and the Ansar. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding them, that the dua that they would make, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا. O Allah, forgive us, forgive our brothers. And وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. This is a very important dua and very important mindset for a person to have. The dua that these sahaba would make, O Allah, do not create within our hearts any ill feelings for the believers. We should have clean and pure hearts for any person of iman. So keep our hearts clean and pure. Don't let us ever hold any grudge or have any jealousy or envy or malice for any fellow Muslim. So this was the dua they would make, and this is the dua we also should make. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. O Allah, forgive us and our brothers who preceded us in iman. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمِ. So this was in the 28th juz, and then tonight we commence with the 29th juz. And of course, commencing with Suratul Mulk, or as we say, Surah Tabarak. Just one virtue of this particular surah, we know that this is one of the night surahs that a person is supposed to read. The hadith sharif of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says that when a person will go into his grave, and we know the angels will come for questioning, and then the angels of adab and punishment will come. And the description is mentioned in the ahadith. They will come with clubs of fire, and they will have fire that will be emitting from their mouths and their eyes. And they will come breaking through the walls of the qabr. And they will want to now inflict the adab and punishment on this person. So when they will approach him from the feet side, then his legs will say to them that you cannot pass through me because this person read Suratul Mulk. Then they will try and come from the head side. And the head will say to them, you cannot pass through me, this person read Suratul Mulk. They will try to come from either side, the hands. And the rest of the body will say the same thing to them, that you cannot pass through us, because this person read Suratul Mulk every night. And therefore, thereafter Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says that innaha ad-dafi'a. This surah is a defender, a protector for a person, as we can say, armed response in the grave. That when the adab is coming, now immediately that armed response will activate and kick in, a person will be protected and saved. So Suratul Mulk we have, my dear brothers, at night, as we mentioned before, the evening du'as and surahs, we can commence from Maghrib time. Although better to read it later at night, we have our Suratul Waqia after Maghrib, and then our Suratul Mulk after Isha, or even if we have to read it after Maghrib, or before sleeping also. But with this intention in mind, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect me in my qabr. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi.